Would you turn again to our scripture that we looked at last night in John? John 15. Also, you could find 1 John 4. John 15, 1 John 4. Everybody happy? Are we supposed to be happy?
Amen.
Remember, there's not much of a worse witness than a depressed, sad Christian.
That's right?
Right?
Amen.
No. People should see our life and want what we have.
Amen.
Particularly non-Christians I'm talking about, they should want a life like ours. And they're not going to desire a life like ours if our life seems drudgery, laborious. You know, we're just holding on till we get over there. But now, if we have victory here and now, victory here and now, victory here, now. People are interested in that. And that is the inheritance of the child of God. John 15. You believe in God with me this morning? Because I'm still believing God majorly for utterance. We always are. Just sometimes seem to be more aware of it than others. This is one of those heightened awareness times. John 15, 4, what does it say? Abide in me. What does abide mean? It means, I'll give you the definitions again, to remain in, to be kept in continually, to not depart from, not to leave from, to continue. But two words that we use in our modern vernacular, to stay in, or you could say to live in. We use those words all the time. People say, are you staying? You going. Where do you live? Right? That's what he's saying. Live, stay in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it stay in the vine, no more can you except you live or stay in me. Now skip down to verse 7. If you live in me, you stay in me. And my words live in you, stay in you. How could you tell if his word is living in you, staying in you? Then it has the preeminence. How many remember Proverbs 4? My son, attend to my words. What does that mean? Put them first place, give them priority. Give attention to them, pay attention to them, attend to my words. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep them. Keep them. Then he talks about their life to those that find them and health or medicine to all their flesh. Well, when does the word work healing in you? Well, when it lives in you instead of symptom awareness. See, you don't just live in a geographical locale. You live in your mind and in your heart. And do you understand what a difference it is living in the symptoms versus living in the truth that you're healed? We're not together yet. Got to get in sync here. Are y'all with me or not?
Yes.
What you live where your mind is all the time. That's where you live. I mean, you could be on the most beautiful place on the planet and be living in darkness. Because you're sad, you're dejected, you're depressed. Or you could be like Paul in a damp, dark, cold Philippian jail and keep saying, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. I tell you, rejoice. Rejoice. Why? Because he's not just living in concrete and steel. The Word is living in him, and he's living in the Word. That means you are not captive or controlled by circumstances. They don't dictate to you how you're living or whether you're having a good life or not, or how much money you've got or don't have doesn't tell you if you're having a good life or not. Or if you're being attacked this way or that. No. You live in the Word. The Word takes the preeminence in your mind. If you know, in working in healing school, like I've mentioned before, many a time I've sat down and talked with people about their condition, and they could talk to me easily for 2 hours about their condition. They knew all the Latin names for it. They knew all the experimental drugs and all the experimental procedures. They had meditated for hours and days about how to best describe their symptoms. That's right. They're proficient. Why? That's where they're living. And you ask them, well, what about the Word? A lot of them, hard for them to think of two scriptures to tell you. Why? Because they're not living in the Word. They're living in the symptoms. But that's not how you get healed. Right? You live in the symptoms, you're going to have fruit of that. And it'll be more symptoms and worse. And basically, seek and you'll find. What do you mean? You look for something and you keep looking for it, and you keep looking for it, you're going to find it. Well, if it's a disease, I've had people tell me before, I was talking to this guy one time, and he had been to 4 outstanding physicians and facilities. They had run all kind of tests and done everything, and they said, no, you're clean. You're clean. He said, well, I know I've got cancer. They said, no, you're clean. He's telling me, he said, they're wrong. I said, brother, you ought to be glad. He said, but I know they're wrong. I said, no, you don't know it. You believe it. Amen. Right? Right. And man, the Spirit of God come on me. I said, and if you don't quit looking for it, you're going to find it. He's living in the symptoms. That's all he thinks about, is how he feels and every little ache and every little pain. Did you know the devil's looking for permission in you all the time? An ache could run through your head. And he runs there. He runs up there with his checklist and he goes, aneurysm. You're dying right now. Aneurysm. And you go, nah. He goes, okay. Brain tumor. Brain tumor. You got a brain tumor. You go, I don't think so. You understand what I'm saying? And he just keeps going down the line. Well, you got a bad headache. Yeah, that's it. I get a headache sometimes. Yay, we're established at least. And he's working to move it on up. And seeking you'll find. Well, what if you're seeking, you're looking for your healing? You've already believed you received it. You're looking for it to manifest. What if you're looking for your healing? You're looking for your money to show up. And that's where you live. You think about it. You talk about it. The Word of God concerning the prosperity and the healing lives in you. You stay in it. It stays in you. You will eat the fruit of it. Now, you know, a lot of folk know a little bit about this, but not nearly as many do it. If you're not enjoying your life, it's because you're living in the wrong place. And that doesn't mean you need to get a U-Haul and pack up and go to another state. Because you'd still be, you know, when you got there, you'd be there. Right? It's not the Jew. If I could just get out of this place, I'd just be so much better. No, you'd be there when you got there. It's hard to run away from you. Run away from yourself. No, you don't just live in a state or a nation, a geographical location. You live in your mind, in your heart. And so whatever is in your mind and heart is what you're living in. He said, live where? Live in me. Live in me. And if you live in me, and my words live and stay in you, you'll ask what you will, it shall be done to you. It'll be done. Now verse 9, I'll read. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now that word has some of the same meaning, continue. Stay in me. Stay in my love. Well, staying in him and staying in his love is the same. He is love. So if you're living in God, you're living in love. That's what we began talking about last night. Living in love, and we're talking about living in his love. Living there. This is not just how you treat other people. That's a part of it. This is how you live if nobody's around. This is just like we live in this environment. We breathe in air and exhale. We live in the environment or atmosphere of God's love, his manifest presence on this earth. And there is no better life. He went on to say, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide or live in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and live in his love. These things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain or stay in you and that your joy might be full. Why would your joy be full? Because you're living in him. We must have some mind renewal. Because people have had the idea, well, yeah, I should treat people right because it's the right thing to do. And it may not make me happy, but I should walk in love with people and I should treat people right because it's the right thing to do. No. Pleasing God is not just being a holy, holy Christian, and I'm a good Christian, and I'm a good little Christian. I please God every day. I please God because that's what good Christians do. No, when you please God, he lets you know. He manifests his presence to you. The more you please God, the stronger he manifests his pleasure. Now, one of the definitions, if you don't, you know, there's a couple of main words that's used, translated love in the New Testament. One of them, phileo, has the idea of fondness and to take pleasure in. Love, the real love of God, and pleasure go together. See, that's all, almost sounds strange to us, doesn't it? Oh, pleasure. We rebuke that. No. God at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Is that right? Amen. Somebody say pleasure.
Pleasure.
Pleasure. And anything that the world is experiencing and calling falling in, falling out of love, pleasure is It's counterfeit. A counterfeit of the real, a poor, poor substitute for the real. Can God thrill your soul? Can he activate pleasure points in your mind that you didn't know existed? Can he make you light up like a light bulb? And well, you don't know whether to cry or laugh or do both at the same time. God can bless you. We call it blessing. There are times he calls it pleasure. God can bless you to the point you don't know if your body can take anymore. Well, we're having fun this morning, aren't we? Is it true at his right hand are pleasures forevermore? Well, what's this saying? If you live in me, my words live in you, you will live and stay in my love. And the very next verse, he said, I told you this so that my joy could stay in you. Because when you're staying in the love, the joy stays in you. So now we could tell this right away, the less joy we have, the less we're living in love. Right? And that your joy, when his joy is rising up in us, then it causes our joy to overflow, to be full and overflow. Thanks be unto God. Some things, like one fellow said, is better felt than telt. I mean, trying to express them, you know, I'm on the border of talking in tongues every time I open my mouth here. Because how do you express the fullness of God? And we know from Ephesians 3, we can know and experience the fullness of God through the height and the depth and the breadth of the love of God. Right? Well, would we be bored experiencing this? Would we go, ho-hum? Yeah, love is great. It's neat. No. God desires to fill us. Somebody say, fill us. He desires to fill us and overflow us. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. And that's what's supposed to happen to us on a regular basis, filled with the Spirit. And it's not supposed to be just a one-time experience. Ephesians says in the Greek, be ye being filled. Be being filled. We use that term, Spirit-filled, far too loosely. Spirit-filled church, Spirit-filled ministry, Spirit-filled preachers, Spirit-filled people, Spirit-filled, they're all Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled, what does that mean? Somebody heard them talk in tongues. No. Even hear people say like stuff like this. Well, you know, so-and-so, that preacher, he ran off with the piano player and the building fund. And you know, he's Spirit-filled. Not that day he wasn't. And not a lot of days before then. Because when you're Spirit-filled, you don't do that. He got greed-filled, lust-filled, right? Living in the fullness of the Spirit is living in God, living in love. And what accompanies that? Fullness of joy. Fullness. Anybody in here been full before? Full of God. Did you like it? Yes. The sad thing is, we got all kind of Christians don't know what we're talking about. They're like, yeah, I confessed Jesus one day. Yes, I felt pretty blessed. No. There is a fullness. There is an overflowing. God fills your being. He fills you from the inside. He fills you and overflows you, and your joy, unspeakable, full of glory. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Yes. Are you interested in this at all?
Yes.
Are you hungry for this?
Yes.
It is not some great, huge mystery to find out about. It's very simple and easy. You just must do some things that He tells you to do. One thing He said, stay in My words. Let My words stay in you. Stay in My love. Live in My love. Now, we were looking this. Go on over to where you're holding your place in 1 John 4, please. And we'll look at something else. Joy, joy, joy. We were here at you guys' church. It would have been in the other building, wasn't it? And the Lord gave us a song, Less Thinking.
A lot more drinking.
A lot more drinking. Yeah. Is there? We need a good dose of that.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Too much thinking.
Too much thinking. Not enough
drinking. Not enough drinking. You must say, what you talking about? Well, go to Ephesians then. We better touch on that first. Said out loud, too much thinking.
Too much thinking.
Not enough drinking. Is that an issue? Ephesians 5. He said, verse 14, wake up, sleepy head. Get up from the dead. Did you know that people in a deep sleep look like dead folks from a distance? You can't tell the difference. Is that right? Dead sleep. They just don't move. They just lay there. They look like dead people. But they're not. They're alive. They're just asleep. The Lord said to me a number of years ago, He said, most of the earth is either dead or asleep. He's talking about spiritually. Spiritually dead means not born again. What does spiritually asleep mean? You're alive, but you live like the dead. I mean, people looking at you from a distance couldn't tell that you're alive because you look dead. Right? What's He saying? Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! And get up from that dead bunch. And the Anointed One will give you some light. He's going to light your fire. He's going to make you glow like a bulb. And notice what He immediately goes into. He said, verse 18, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, He's not just talking about you spoke in tongues one time 30 years ago. Don't be drunk. Why would He mention being drunk? Day of Pentecost. Y'all remember the day of Pentecost? Remember the Bible, Acts 2, right? Holy Ghost fell. They all got filled. They spoke in tongues. And they come stumbling out of the upper room into the streets. And the people said, look how smart they are. They're so smart. They're so spiritual. Look at them. No, what'd they say? They're drunk. Now, is being filled with the Spirit categorically different today than it was then? No. Same Holy Ghost. So then getting filled is going to have the same symptoms now as it did then. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Why would they think they were drunk? Because you can only relate to what you have previously experienced. And so these were drinking people.
Yeah, that's right.
Wine was everywhere. And everybody drank wine. A lot of folk drank way too much wine. And they had seen drunk people, and a lot of them been drunk themselves. And they seen these people, they saw these people and immediately thought, they're drunk. Didn't they? They didn't think, wow, we're seeing the Holy Ghost manifest in the earth. No, they thought, this bunch is drunk. Didn't they? Why would they have thought they were drunk?
They were drunk.
Well, you know, Peter said, these are not drunk as you suppose. He's not just categorically saying they're not drunk. He just said they're not drunk like you think. But they were filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, they must have been doing things that people drunk on wine or alcohol would do. Like what? Laughing too much. Too quickly and too much about stuff that normally wouldn't even laugh about. They must have been maybe slurring some words. They wobbling around, right? They had to be doing something for people to look at them. You know, people didn't just don't automatically look at you and go, drunk. You're drunk. There's got to be something that's telling them that. Well, here, years later, to a tongue-talking church, the Holy Ghost through Paul says what? Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled. And that's where the Greek reveals, be being filled with the Spirit. Be being filled. Being filled with the Spirit, living in this love, we're talking about the same environment. And it has an effect on your spirit, your mind, your feelings, your body. And here's how you tap into it. What's the very next phrase? Speaking. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing. Somebody say singing.
Singing.
Yeah, a lot of folks say, yeah, but brother, I don't sing. Wrong. Everybody can sing. Everybody is supposed to sing. Everybody. That's too weak. Not everybody should be given a microphone. Not everybody should record. But everybody should sing. Everybody. When you lift up your voice and you sing it out, you step up. I said you step up. It's a different place. And you reach down and you put more of your heart into some things. I don't know if that I can even explain it, but there is a different expression. And that's why he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and doing what else? Singing. Singing. And making melody in your hearts. These are not depressed songs. These are not woe, woe unto me songs. Are they? Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. I know years ago, I began to see some of these things through others teaching on them. And I decided one night, you know, I thought, I haven't experienced this very much. And I saw what to do. Speak into yourselves. So I just went home one day after work. Oh, I got home, I guess I was about 6:30 or so when I got there, and I just went in the bedroom by myself and closed the door. I thought, I'm not coming out tonight. And I lay across the bed and started by faith, speaking to myself. At first it was dry. Anybody know what I mean by that? It was dry. And then I began to sing. And there wasn't much punch to it. But I just kept on. And see, you got to understand, it doesn't have to rhyme. It doesn't have to sound perfect. I mean, who is there to judge it? I was there by myself. And so I began to sing and sang. And some of it was just silly. But there's nobody there but me and the Lord. And I sang and I sang and I sang. And I sang, and I got kind of dry singing, so I thought, well, I'm going to get up and get me some water. And I got up and stumbled. And kind of slid down the wall, and then I thought it was so funny, I just laughed and laughed. I sat there and laughed and thought, this is funny. And so I started singing some more. And next thing I realized, 3 hours had passed.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
And as this progresses, I am feeling no pain. No torment. What's this? This is the manifest presence of God, which is love, which is where we're supposed to live. But see, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to become converted and become like little children. Yeah. And if you don't, you won't enter in to the kingdom of God and the things of the kingdom. Not long ago at our church, we got into this, talked about it some. How are we to be like little children? How can we be changed and converted? Well, we talked about some of the characteristics. Little children, they like to play. They like to have fun, right? I'm talking about little ones now. The description is little ones. Little ones before they've been corrupted by the world. Little ones, you play music, what's going to happen?
Dancing.
Don't even think about it. Dancing is going to happen. What style? They have no concept of the style and do not care. Right? They just start moving. Is that right?
Yeah.
Little children laugh. They laugh all the time. I was reading one thing a while back. I forget the exact numbers, but they said little children laughed. I don't know. Do you remember what we said on that? It was scores and scores of times a day. These researchers followed them and mic'd them and counted them. And by the time a person is into their 40s, a lot of times it's dropped down to 5 or less a day. People quit laughing. They quit laughing, they quit singing, they quit dancing, and they live in their stuffy, boring, intellectual, dumb head. Which is why the Lord told us, too much thinking, not enough drinking. Drinking. So what are we going to do about it? When? Why put it off? Do you know how to drink? How do you drink? You want to get drunk. You find a bottle and you pop the top. You start drinking, right? And depending on how much alcohol is in it, is how much you're going to have to drink. Right? Well, it's the same thing with this. You start drinking by beginning to, by faith, speaking. And by faith, singing. But depending on your faith and how much you're yielding is how much punch it's got to it. And most folk hadn't got much punch. They had the content. I mean, it ain't got much of a kick at all to it. So you're going to have to drink a barrel of it. What do you mean, Brother Keith? You're going to have to speak a lot. And sing a lot and stay with it for a while to begin to get over into it. Now, you practice this for a while and practice yielding, then you speaking and singing will have more spirit content, more of a punch. It'll affect you quicker. You'll move quicker. But see, this is working against inexperienced folks because a lot of them feel awkward about it anyway. And a lot of times if God begins to move in a service like this and people begin to sing and begin to speak in psalms and hymns and songs and worship God, a lot of folk will lay out for the first two-thirds of it just watching. Isn't that marvelous? They have such a gift. And then finally, if the Spirit of God's strong enough at the end, they'll begin to go along a little bit. And then the service is over. And they go, wasn't that nice? When, in a short amount of time, we're half of us supposed to be laid out on the floor like, oh, glory to God. And the rest of us supposed to be just too happy for our own selves. And anybody know what I'm talking about? But this is a new thing to us. It's like a foreign thing to many people. But it wasn't to these Christians.
That's right. Amen.
It wasn't to the folk on the day of Pentecost. That's how they got started. I said, that's how they got started, and that's how they liked it. We must practice yielding to the Spirit. Had the Lord point out to me one time, he said, Keith, did you see what kind of people I chose in the old covenant people, the seed of Abraham? See what kind of people, from all the peoples of the earth, what kind of people I chose. I didn't know what he was endeavoring to show me. He began to express to me, he said, when they got mad, they ripped their clothes. Put ashes on their head. And when they wailed, you could hear them a mile away. Oh, but when they parted, brother. There was music and there was dancing. He said they were expressive souls. Somebody say expressive souls. Expressive souls. Sometimes people say, well, yes, but Brother Keith, I'm Midwestern conservative white. That's just what I am. You are a child of God. You've got the fullness of God inside you. All you got to do is open your mouth, open your soul, open your mind, and express. I said express. Express. When he comes up in you, you don't just go, whoo. No, you let him well up in you, go, oh, glory to God, glory to God.
Oh, yeah,
Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise 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 you, praise you, praise you, praise you. Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Glory, 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 glory. Praise. Oh, suhaladechi. 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 Bosi desi oshnabata kovre barubelo nando. Hale blese kade beje jodo vela. Praise you, 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 praise you. Ha ha ha. Glory to God. Don't you feel better? Ha ha. Why can't you do that at home? You can. Right? Why can't you do that in your car? You can. Would you feel better? Would you have a better life? Said out loud, less thinking. More drinking. Yeah. Yeah. Ha ha. You can be seated. I think we need to do some substantial drinking before this meeting is over. What do you think? The Spirit-filled life. Spirit-filled means something. There's some people spoke in tongues 30 years ago, ain't been full of the Spirit in years. Did you hear me now? I didn't say the Holy Ghost left them. No, he's come to you to live inside you, to abide forever. But he can be in small demonstration in your life, and it's according to how much we yield to him. I said how much we yield to him. Did you know God Himself sings? Hmm. How many remember the scripture that he? He sings. He sings over us. He's a singer. How many would like to have a CD collection of God's favorites? Soon and very soon, we're going to hear God, get to hear God perform in person. All of us will be standing around the throne. Somebody say, shh, God's going to sing. Let her go, Lord. He can hit notes you never thought about. And in that day, we can hear them. See, there's whole ranges of sounds our little human ears can't even hear. Highs and lows. But soon we'll be able to hear them all. Glory to God. Some things you can get now in your spirit.
Yes.
Tones, sounds are so powerful. God created the heavens and the earth with sounds in the form of spoken words. And there are sounds and tones that you hit with your spirit, and it opens whole things to you. Because how many understand God is not limited to English? He's not even limited to all the known languages in the earth, which is a bunch. And there's a lot of languages in the earth. If you heard, if I could sing a song to you in some of them today, your mind would not think it's a language.
That's right.
But it is. But your spirit could discern the tone. Even if your mind didn't understand the word. Well, there are also tongues of men and of angels. There's a whole realm of angelic tongues, which are sounds. And the scripture talks about the trumpet and instruments making a sound. Music is a language. Like English or French or German. It's a language. And when instruments are being played, it's saying something. A good song is where the music is saying the same thing that the words are saying. That's a whole nother subject. But suffice it to say, you can express things out of your heart in tones and sounds that's beyond your mind. Speaking in your known tongue, but then beyond. How many thank God for speaking in other tongues? Oh, it's a doorway into all kind of things of God that people that don't yield are held out. This is available to us all. I said, God is a singer.
Yes, He is.
How about you?
Yes, sir.
Say it out loud. I'm a singing
child
of a singing God. We sing.
We sing.
When do you sing? You ought to get up singing. Sure beats getting up griping. I said, you ought to get up singing.
Yes.
Get up singing.
Yes.
Clean up singing. Dress singing. I'm not with you quite good enough on this. Somebody say singing.
Singing.
Do you sing?
Yes.
That wasn't everybody. Come on now, have you not seen enough of this in the Word already to see? How could you even do this scripture? Singing to yourself. Making melody. How could you even do it if you don't sing? Well, I'm not a singer, Brother Keith. No, I don't sing. Well, then you don't do this. And you've shut yourself off. Do little kids sing?
Yes.
Are they concerned that they might hit an off note? Not at all. And that's exactly how concerned you ought to be. You got to get converted. Got to get converted. Got to get changed. Become like a little child. Right? God move on you and you just sing. God move on you and you just laugh. You just laugh. Oh, you laugh. You laugh. Somebody said, look at that fool. You go. If you knew how much fun I was having, you'd want to be a fool too. But it's not being a fool. The Lord takes what the world calls foolish. See, they think that's ignorant. Well, they're all carrying on. And What's all that singing and laughing and just, that's foolish, foolish, foolish. Is all that really necessary? Now, the question is it necessary for you to be so stiff and bored and no fun? So you got all kind of people who are not Christians because they got family who are. That's right. And they think, if being a Christian is being like Aunt Mildred, Uncle Bob, forget it. They are the grumpiest, saddest, everything's a sin, can't have no fun. It's been taught, it's been ingrained in us for generations. Oh, 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 watch out, watch out. Are you having fun? You know it's a sin. You better quit. That's the devil. Because the devil knew and knows you can't live a depressed so-called Christian life. It doesn't work. You're going to get to the place where you just got to break out. And you think when you do, people will get in, they jump out and get in sin trying to have fun and oh, that's death. And it's a lie. It's like a friend I read one time. This fellow was a missionary to some islands out in the Pacific, very remote. They had had no refrigeration out there, none. No electricity, no refrigeration. And they had never had ice cream. That's a shame, man. Never had. He thought that, he was a great lover of ice cream, so he thought that was just awful. He said, he made arrangements, the next ship that was coming through with refrigeration to bring a big batch of ice cream. It loaded up. He was so thrilled about it, and he had all his folk. He's got a church there now, and he's got a lot of folk coming, got a lot of people got saved, and so all the folk in the island, they lined up. He's dipping, you know, ice cream and putting it on a cone. And boy, the kids are, man, they're having a big time. And one of his ladies, which was the most, you know, devout lady in the church, came up in the line and he handed her a big double cone. And she took a big lick off of it and she went, huh. She throwed it down. He said, "Sister, we throw that ice cream on the ground." She said, "Anything tastes that good. Have to be a sin." Have to be a sin. And see, the devil has ingrained into people's minds and thoughts, if you really, really, really completely commit to God, your fun is over. No more fun for you. Nope. Nope. Because people have this idea of God, that he's in the heavens, sitting on his throne, and he's old. He's old. God's old. Long white beard, and he's old. And he's not happy. He's not mad. Sometimes he gets mad, but he's mostly just stoic, no expression, because he's not subject to these fickle human emotions. He's just boring. But have you ever read? God gets mad, he gets glad, he sings, he laughs. You know why? He's a whole lot like you. I said, "Oh, Brother Keith, are you not made in his image?
Yes.
Are you not a whole lot like him?"
Yes.
Then he'd have to be a whole lot like him. See, people don't even like saying that. They're going, listen, if I take up these two chairs and I hold them up and I said, "This chair was made exactly after the pattern of this one," and they look just alike to you, and I say, "This chair is just like this chair, but this chair is not like this one." It doesn't work. If you're like God, See, folks still having trouble saying it. They're like, it can't be any other way. If you are like him, he's got to be like you. Of course, minus the sin and perversion. Right? But he's got to be. Right? Go with me to the book of Psalms, please. God has what we might call emotions. He has feelings. He expresses them. Now, he's totally in control of them at all times. But he has them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Where's the scripture I'm looking for? Where does it say, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh? 2, isn't it? I thought it was. Yeah. Looked right over it. Psalm 2. Let's think about this. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? Are you at Psalm 2, verse 1 with me? Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And they say, let us break their bands asunder, and we'll cast away their cords from us. And he that sits in the heavens goes, that's bad. What are we going to do? You see that, Gabriel? They're rebelling against me. Nah, he that sits in the heavens, are you there now? Shall laugh. He will laugh. He will laugh. God laughs. Wonder what it sounds like. Now let me ask you, here's a big question. Let's say Brother Kenneth Copeland's in here this morning sitting right beside you. And he looked over at you and he punched you and started laughing. What would you do? Would you just look at him? What about God? What about God? You worshiping before the throne of God, and God breaks out into laughter. He goes, ha, 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 ha. What do? You know what a lot of Christians keep doing? They go, oh, Jesus, please, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. They're going to come take my stuff away. And God's going, ha, 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 ha. How many remember Job said, at destruction and at famine, you'll do what? Thou shalt laugh. At what? You laughing at what? Destruction. And what else? Famine. What's famine? Out of everything. Right? What's destruction? Everything tore up. If you're from the South, tore up. Broken. Failed. Destroyed. Ruined. And so what do? You go into intense intercession. For 9 hours. Because, oh God, this is serious. Now, did you get the picture? I mean, here is the heathen are raging. The people are imagining vain things. The rulers of the earth, they got their plan. Well, who's behind all that? The devil. Oh, he's got the Antichrist set up. He's got all the stuff in place. He's moving it. He's bringing this thing. We're going to throw God's rule off of us. We're not having none of God. And God looks at the whole deal and goes, doing what again? That's how he deals with it. Now listen. We are made in his image. We are made to operate after the principles he operates in. The scripture said, be ye imitators of God, followers of God, imitators of God as dear children. You and I, our bodies, our immune system, our minds were not designed to handle stress, fear, depression. We're not designed to handle it. And so when you try to handle it, it breaks you down. But you know what you were designed to do? Laugh. Sing. Dance. Yeah. You are a laughing, singing, dancing creation. That's what you are. And you are made to do it. You are made to do it. When you do it, it just helps you. The more you do it, the better you feel, the stronger you get. It helps your mind. It helps your body. I mean, medical science is finding out. And actually prescribing to their patients laughter. Aren't they? Because they have been able to see it. And prove the results of its effect on the immune system. I know, a few weeks ago, we had an incident. A person was in a situation where I needed to help out. And I grabbed hold of some weight, and I did something funny with my back. And man, I mean, by that evening, can't sit, and I can't lay. I did something. And I'd start to move, and it would hurt. Pain. And then I'd laugh. I thought, what you laughing about? And the Lord said, that's me. He said, that's your healing. I thought, huh? He said, yep, just do it. Because sometimes when I'd laugh, it hurt more when I laugh. I'd go to move and go, ee, ha, oh, ha. Huh. And I got a friend of mine, he's a chiropractor, and he looked at it for me. He said, oh, you blowed this. But he's a believer. And every time it came up, the Lord prompted me, laugh at it. Now, there's another response. Anybody ever been in the other response? What's the other response? You can cry. You can go laugh and go, I just don't know why this is happening to me. I'm a good Christian. I love the Lord. Well, you're crying, sorrow, and you can go far enough, you get mad about it. Mad? I just don't know. What's wrong? Well, God, I'm doing the best I know how. I don't look so innocent. In, I think it was 3 days, it was all gone. And he told me that normally it'd take, two or three months to even start getting past some of the serious pain. God just healed it. But I know every time it'd come up and I'd hurt, the Lord'd say, laugh. I thought, Lord, it's going to hurt when I laugh. He said, laugh. And after a while, I quit thinking, you know, messing with my head because it would come up in my spirit. Every time I'd move and it'd go, ugh. So instead of going, I'd go, ha, ha. I know if you'd have saw me, you'd have thought it was a strange thing. But the more I did it, the better I felt. Ha, 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 ha. It hurt real bad one time. You know what I did then? I had to lean up against something. So, and then I went, ha, ha, ha. Ah, ooh. Ha, ha. Ooh, oh. Ha, ha. And then I'm laughing at myself because of how I sound. And then I'm laughing. That made me laugh more. Less than a week. No symptoms. None. None. I've seen that before. Again, you know, at healing school. At Brother Kenneth Hagin's ministry, the Lord led me that way. There are people in there, especially on a Monday morning. You know, we hadn't had time to get much momentum going in the Word. And there's people there, they've been given up to die. And a lot of them, the doctor said they should have been dead yesterday or a week ago or a month ago. And it's just, you know, nobody's partying when I came in. You can feel the heaviness. You can feel death in the room. And what is the natural unbelieving, non-Christian response? People don't even know God. Cry. Feel bad. Feel sorry for you. Man, I'm so sorry. What's God's response? Well, they told me that it's the big C. And they said, maybe a month. Now, see, you quit laughing. Why? Because people think, oh, it's that serious. And see, that's the way the world responds. Right? And so I'd teach on this. We'd go through scripture after scripture. And scripture after scripture. And scripture, they're all through. Get in your concordance and look them up. Man, it's all through here. And they would say, okay, we're going to do it. This is destruction. This is lack. What the Bible say, do to it. At destruction and at famine, you'll laugh. And when the Lord sees the devil's plans, what he's doing, he laughs at it. So I'd take the worst cases and we'd line them up in the front. And I'd take the microphone and I'd say, and what'd they say wrong with you? They'd take the mic. Well, They say, and I mean, a lot of times, you know, we already preached for an hour or two at this time, and they say, I've got such and such. The whole crowd would just laugh. Some of the people would go, what's so funny about that? And some people get indignant. This is serious. This is serious. Yeah, serious unbelief. Yeah. Serious fear. Yeah. And that's the problem. When you have so much faith in God that you believe that the devil is nothing beside a God, this disease is nothing before the power of God, you laugh at it. You laugh and you despise it. And you go, what are you before the great healer? What are you before the great provider? You laugh at it. I said you laugh at it. You're quick to laugh at it. You laugh at it, laugh at it, laugh at it. And it shows you're not afraid of it. When you can't laugh at it, you're afraid of it. Devil comes and says, that's it, that's it. You're going to die with this. And if you go, somebody said, Brother Keith, this is serious stuff. No, listen. The child of God is to have no fear of death. None. 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 No fear. No fear. I stepped into healing school one Monday morning. Boy, death was so thick. You could feel it when you walked in the door. And this is how I started. The Lord led me this way. I stepped to the pulpit and I just looked at everybody. They're looking at me like, can you help us? I said, so they say you're going to die. People look at me like, I said, so? You already knew it, didn't you? I said, the Lord tarries is coming. None of us making it out of this alive. I said, you should have known it. I mean, your dog's going to die. And your cat. And your canary and your goldfish. And your rose bush and your trees. All dying. You're dying. I said, but are you born again? Are you a child of God? Let's say worst case scenario, you don't believe for your healing. You don't, lay hold of the power of God. You die. You're out of here tomorrow, this afternoon. I said, if you do, worst case scenario, what happens? What happens? You step out of your body. Boom. You go, wow. I feel good. And your angel is standing there. He says, you ready? You go, yeah. He says, you want me to take you by the scenic route? There's some stuff in the Milky Way you got to see. You go, I want to see it all. I want to see it all. And you're out of here to heaven to see all your family, to see God. Why cry about that? Why be pitiful and act scared about that? And see, when you are able to face death with no fear, now you're ready to live. And you don't have that gripping you, and through the fear of death all your lifetime, you're subject to bondage. Oh, don't do that, you might die. Ooh. Don't ride a motorcycle, you might die. Ooh. Don't fly in a plane, you might die. Ooh, okay. Don't go out of the house today. You might die. Okay. You can't eat that. You might die. Oh. Don't drink that. You might die. Oh. You know there's germs in the air that'll kill you. He will back you. You see what I'm talking about? He will back you into a place where you can't do anything but die. But what do you do with it? You do what you are doing right now. At least 50% of you are doing right now. You laugh at destruction. What do hurricanes do?
Destruction.
That's destruction. You seen anybody laughing about Katrina? Oh no, because that's serious, Brother King. No, we have to have the expression of the greater one inside, the unconquerable spirit of the living God. No matter what the devil does, no matter what he comes up with at destruction and at famine, we look it in the eye and go, ha! 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 Sometimes you got to start off by faith. Don't you? Ha! Ha! You got anything to laugh about this morning? The devil been messing with you? Huh? How about all that debt, money trouble? Ha 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 ha. I don't know how many times I've had people come to me and go, Brother Key, pray for me. The devil told me he's going to kill me. Brother Key, you got to do something. I think I got a witch live beside me. I think they done put the hoodoo on me. And yeah, they had a whole witch meeting down the road. They done hexed me, Brother Keith. If you're scared of it, you take it so seriously, means you believe in it. You have faith in it. It comes on you. But, you know, like Brother Hagin, he was in a place one time. Somebody said, he said some things about prophets and prophetesses. And some of it was correctional. And somebody said, oh, Brother Hagin, you know, prophetess so-and-so was in the meeting. And I think you done rubbed her the wrong way. He said, you know, ooh, you better apologize because, you know, she'll curse you. Well, now, what kind of prophetess is that? Y'all better receive this message or I curse you. What kind of prophet is that? He said, she'll curse you. Oh, and Brother Hagin, she doesn't curse some other folk. And boy, they hoodooed too. I mean, you know what he said? He reared back. He said, ha! Now that is a faith response. Do you hear this right now? What would the other response be? You talking about that juju? Some of that island stuff. Yeah. You mean she can put it on you? No, he said, ha! He said, I double dog dare her to curse me. What does that mean? He's got no faith in the devil's ability to hurt him. He's got no fear. I double dog dare. The curse causeless shall not come. It'll return. Boomerang. Oh, you sending the curse toward me? What size you wear? Because you're going to wear it. You're going to eat it. It's coming back. And that, you don't have to say any of that. That is all expressed in this. Ha! 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 At destruction, what do you do? At famine and lack, what do you do? At the devil's plans and schemes, what do you do?
Laugh.
Laugh. Laugh. Sounds like a lot of laughing to me. Little kids laugh all the time. We got to be converted and become again like little children. Quick to laugh. Quick to sing. Quick to dance. Quick. Quick. I hope you're with me because, you know, all along this, I'm going to stop and just say, hit it. I'm not just going to talk forever. I'm going to talk and then we're going to go, hey, hit it. Let me see you do it. Right? Stand up and laugh by faith. Laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha. Oh, ha, ha. Ha 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 ha